Okay, is everybody ready?
Okay, great.
Oh, try not to stutter.
Live from the NSA convention, you're here with Eric and Peter, and our very, very special guests for today, Ilana, Sam, and Crystal. Hey, ladies.
Hey,
hi, Eric.
What's going on?
Hey. Not much.
We definitely want to thank the National Stuttering Association for this fine equipment and for helping us get here and all of that good stuff.
They've been really, really good to us since we've been here, haven't they?
Yeah, yeah. You know what's fun is that when we started Stutter Talk, a lot of people called in, but the very first professional to ever call us was Nina Ridden Reeves, and I was shocked, because most professionals wouldn't deign to call in, but she called in and just thanked us, which was wonderful.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah, it was very cool. So let's get rolling, all right?
Yeah.
Okay, sounds good. Ladies, why do you come to the NSA every year? Like, what brings you back? Let's start with you, Ilana.
That is a great question, because I got asked that by a lot of people before I came here, because it's my 7th conference, and most of my non-stuttering friends look at me as someone who's kind of overcome and dealt with it, but I just love coming because of the friends I've met here, meeting new people, and I was saying earlier that this year I've had so many like intense stuttering conversations with people from about all different topics, and I even got a friend from college to come this year. And when he turned to me on Wednesday night and was like, "Ilana, this is the best thing ever," I was like, you know, that sums up the NSA.
Awesome.
Yeah. Like, there are so many stuttering conversations that go on here, and it just about reaches the level of, okay, I think this might be a little too, but then the conference is over, and then it's like, okay, good. I'm recharged. I'm ready to go. So what about you, Sam? What keeps bringing you back to these things?
That's actually what you just said, the word recharge, is a word that Ilana used in the open mic the other night, and I like that because it is like a recharging session to just sort of get back on your feet in terms of, like, accepting that you stutter, and just to come here every year, having gone to, like, intensive therapy when I was, like, 15, it's, like, been 8 years or 7 years, and this is my 7th conference, too, even though there are, like, a lot of tools and whatnot that we have in our belt. It's also great to just know that it's okay to stutter and to meet people from all walks of life who stutter, not just those who, like, I've been in therapy with, because that's, like, a totally separate thing, even though, like, both are good, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's diverse. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
absolutely.
I like where this is going, but we're going to have to change the name of our podcast to fluencytalk.com. Because we come to the NSA and we all forget to stutter. You know, it's great. So, but what's interesting is that we either stutter a lot because we're so comfortable or we don't stutter at all. For me, I don't stutter much at all because I'm so darn comfortable. Crystal, why do you keep coming back?
Well, this is my 3rd conference, and I loved it the first time, and when I came the first time, I was feeling really good about being a person who stutters, and I was really open about it and excited to meet other people, but I think what struck me the most was how much this would have helped me if I was here as a younger kid, And so part of one of my favorite things to do when I come to these kind of conferences is meet the kids and help out at the kid workshops and, you know, see what they're up to. It's so cool to see them, you know, around other kids who stutter and feeling, like, happy and comfortable with stuttering. And it's really cool. That's my favorite thing about these kind of conferences is, like, the kids and the parents getting the support they need. And for me, too. I mean, it's just really fun to hang out with the friends that I've made here and to party at night. I don't know. Everything is just fun in general.
What's that? Partying at night? I have not been a part of any of that.
I was up last night talking to, I think, everyone in this room till about 3:30. I don't...
And it's way past his bedtime.
Usually in bed by, like, 10, up at 6. I mean, like... all right.
I have a really important question here, though.
You just cut me off.
Sorry. Yeah, it's like really rude for a stutterer to cut off another stutterer, but quite frankly, I don't care when I interrupt you. So what do you think the cause of stuttering is?
Oh, God. Get out of here! do you really want us to tell you?
No.
He just wants to hear himself talk. You know, it's a sounding board. Here's what I want to know. How do... Can I say ladies? Is that arrogant? Is that all right?
Oh, okay.
Okay. How do you women...
So
do you how do you people balance being open about stuttering and using speech tools? Like, do you do both? Sam, let's start with you.
Being open about stuttering versus speech tools?
Not versus.
Complimenting?
Or how do you view them?
All right. Actually, I remember just now one of my speech pathologists is here.
Okay.
And I saw him, and I go to say hi, and I'm, like, stuttering a lot, which is weird, because usually when I see him, I'm trying not to stutter. Not to stutter, but using tools and things.
Okay.
And I was like, oh man, I'm stuttering so much, and I feel like I shouldn't be, but I'm at the NSA, and he was like, don't be silly, like, it's always okay to stutter with me or with anybody, and that sort of sums up, like, the way I feel overall about the NSA and therapy. It's like, it's great to have tools, and it's also great to know that it's okay to stutter, but I usually try to use my tools, and when I come here, it's great because I don't have to worry about sounding slow or, like, any of that stuff that I might worry about using my tools out in the real world. But at the same time, I know that it's okay not to, because there are tons of people here that don't really have, like, a toolbox, I'll just refer to it as.
Yeah.
So they just stutter, you know, which is cool too, but, like, I kind of do really value the therapy I've had, so it's interesting to talk to people who haven't had it or don't want it.
Well, I think the third thing is a lot of them have the toolbox, but they're choosing not to use it.
Here.
Okay. Or no. I mean, I don't know them always, but I mean, when they're here, there's a lot of people who stutter who have the toolbox, and they're making, I think, a mature decision that for whatever reason, I'm just going to stutter.
Well, because it's a hard thing sometimes, or, you know, pretty much all of the time, it's a hard thing to really focus on using tools, and I think a place like this, you know, you could relax, and there's not that pressure to be fluent, so that decision is just so easy. It's like, yeah, well, why should I even try that, you know? I just want to, as Peter Reitzes says, chillax. Not use any of the tools.
Okay, I'm going to start charging you a dollar every time you say the word fluent or fluency, and that'll go into our beer money. How about that?
I second that.
What a band. What a crackle.
I really just use that word.
Dude, you're fluent? All about the fluency, Eric.
No, wait a second.
Let's get back to
what's the matter with the word? Okay, well, go ahead.
Yeah, no, what's the matter with the word fluency?
This is a great question.
Yeah. I always feel that the word fluency is a way to avoid somehow using the word stuttering. So for me, you're stuttering, you're not stuttering, you're using some type of speaking strategy to control stuttering. But this whole fluency thing, I think, is a word that's kind of like a disease. It's impeded our field.
I agree.
Stutterers.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like to say trying not to stutter looks bad about the word stuttering.
Why is that?
I don't know. I just do.
Okay.
Like, I'm trying not to stutter versus I'm trying to utilize my skills and be more fluent.
Okay.
Whereas stuttering is still an option. It's not that, like, I don't want to stutter. It's just that I'm, like, trying to do this other thing at the same time.
Okay, but when you meet a person, they say, you know, I'm working on fluency.
Right. That's
what are they really telling you?
I'm working on my stuttering.
Or I'm working on I don't want to stutter.
Yeah. I was just thinking, it's almost, maybe this isn't the best analogy, but if someone's saying, I'm trying not to drink, whereas I'm trying to be sober.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not in the anyone, mindset.
As Eric. Yeah.
Are you serious right now?
Yeah. Oh, please. It doesn't stop.
He really likes
one.
Chocolate milk.
I was sort of, pleasantly, interestingly surprised by that this morning.
I do really like
chocolate milks and beer. All right. Crystal, how do you balance speech tools and stuttering openly?
Gosh, that is not an issue for me because I do have a lot of voluntary stuttering in order to manage my own stuttering. As far as speech tools, I don't really know what you... Everyone has a different meaning for that.
Sure.
I use a lot of voluntary stuttering. And I guess if I'm in the moment of stuttering, I might do like a pullout or something. But that doesn't interfere with being open about stuttering. I don't know.
We just want your experience on it. Alana, what are your thoughts on this?
I've been finding that challenging lately, and I'm also... trying to voluntarily stutter more for myself. I just graduated from grad school, my master's in speech pathology, and I was working the last few weeks at an elementary school in my school district in New York, and I found myself when I was introducing myself nervous about stuttering on my name and the word speech pathologist, and I'm thinking, oh, I'm stuttering on my name and this, and people are going to think, well, how is she the speech pathologist? And, like, subconsciously, I felt like avoiding it, and I just kind of kicked myself and realized, you know what, I need to just stutter more. And so I've also been doing the voluntary stuttering, but I don't know if anyone else ever experienced this. Sometimes I find people who don't stutter don't really understand how when you're not stuttering, that doesn't mean that you're not having a problem with stuttering.
Yeah.
Totally, that's so deep, but true.
No one would ever know.
God, people who don't stutter are just like, oh, you're not stuttering. Yeah, and I'm thinking about it 110% of the time. So, stutter or not, like, it's still an issue, you know. But they would never know that.
But even some stutterers don't know that. I mean, I'm coming from a strong covert stuttering background, and things are changing here, but when I used to come to the NSA or to any self-help group, so many people would be like, yeah, but you don't really stutter because we don't hear it so much. And so I think it's hard all around.
Oh, like people who stutter have said that?
Oh, it's lots of people who stutter. Oh, yeah, like 10 years ago, covert stuttering was so much less discussed than it is now.
Well, like, I didn't even know what stuttering was until... I don't remember, like, acknowledging my stuttering myself until I went to the program. I just, like, thought that... I don't know what I thought, but I didn't think of it as stuttering when I was 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I knew that I stuttered, but I really just felt like I was the only one in the world who did, even though it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, just to clarify, the program is what?
Oh, American Institute for Stuttering?
Oh, so it's an intensive three-week stuttering.
It's an intensive three-week program that I did in 2001.
Yes, I did the same one a couple years after.
I did it with
So did you.
So did Ilana.
Yeah. And we're going to actually have Catherine Montgomery on the show over the summer.
Soon, a couple weeks, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We have her scheduled, Nan Bernstein Ratner scheduled, a couple fathers scheduled of people who stutter. So we're
awesome.
Big summer.
Yeah, since we were talking about voluntary stuttering there, and it wouldn't really be a Stutter Talk episode unless we discussed voluntary stuttering a little
bit. Eight times a show.
Nonstop. I just want to pose a question. We were talking about this a couple weeks ago. What would you say to somebody that asks you, well, I tried voluntary stuttering, but when I was voluntary stuttering, it turned into a real stutter.
I get that question a lot, I think, because it happens a lot.
Yeah.
The first time you try it. I think the best way to respond to that is for me to tell them about my first experience using voluntary stuttering was that, you know, my speech therapist asked me to go out and try it, and I ordered at Starbucks, and I was going to voluntary stutter on whatever it was that I was ordering, and it turned into a really big stutter, and then, you know, they ask you for your name to write it on the cup, couldn't get my name out at all, and I was like, well, that wasn't good at all. So I went back to speech therapy, and I ended up talking to a couple people that use voluntary stuttering. And then I understood more about it, and what helped me was the fact that part of what you're doing when you're voluntary stuttering is trying to put the listener at ease, and that wasn't what I was doing when I was ordering at Starbucks at all. So I guess keeping trying it, the more you do it, the more comfortable you feel with doing it, and then it becomes really a really helpful thing to do, and it makes you a lot more comfortable with stuttering in general. So I guess just to keep at it, and I had a bad experience in the beginning too, but now I love it. Yeah. So
yes. So
go ahead.
No, please.
A lot of things with stuttering are like that. It's just, it's kind of a vicious cycle, and that's why people who stutter say, like, it makes them stronger, because, like, if you want to succeed at anything, you really do have to, like, struggle. Like, you have to just do things that are hard. I remember, can I go into a story, or, like,
absolutely.
No.
Okay.
Sam, I remember, of course, you're really good at telling them, too.
I remember working at a magazine. It was a gossip tabloid. A month or so ago, just freelancing, but full time. So I was a reporter, and I remember the first time my editor was like, "Oh, call this doctor and just ask them for an expert opinion on like so and so's like baby or something." And I looked at her. I was like, "What?" Like that's what they do for articles or whatever. But it was a cold call. Like, hi, my name is Samantha, and I'm with whatever magazine, and blah blah blah. And like the first couple of times, what helped me was a tool that I've gone back to a lot this conference: accepting the nerves. Something I learned in the program that I keep with me, that anyone can do, even if you didn't take the program. You accept the fact that, like, you're going to stutter, or you think you're going to stutter. And you accept the fact that you are scared as crap. And so I called, and I stuttered, but not that much, because I was like, I already knew that I would. And it was, like, fine. I had to call, like, 10 people before I actually got someone, so that in itself was practice enough for the whole time I was there. But having to call again and again is just what did it. Did I want to? No, not at all. Did I have to? Yes, if I wanted to keep the job. It's just, like, a matter of putting things in perspective, I think.
Yeah. Just like, it sounds practice. It sounds like what you're talking about, too, is just giving yourself permission to stutter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, you gave me an idea, too. I think we need a gossip segment for Stutter Talk. There is so much trash going
on. That'd be dangerous.
I know. But just use a
That's
mutual.
Really funny, actually. Yeah. We should start a newsletter, dude. We make so much money.
The NSA gossip?
Like an NSA like gossip letter. Oh, yeah. By the end, who knows? I'll stop.
All right, so I think we should take a quick break.
This is Alana.
And this is Sam.
And this is Crystal. And thanks for listening to Stutter Talk.
You have to do it running, but you do everything that they ask you to, because you don't mind seeing yourself in a picture.
Stutter Talk, Eric, Peter, special guests, Ilana, Sam, and Crystal. And I think...
contact information. I'm sorry, dude. Okay, Stutter Talk.
At StutterTalk.com.
Okay. Voice message, give us a call, 206-888-4619. Again, we're at the NSA convention. To get in touch with the NSA, westutter.org.
Yeah, so one of the ways I think that people deal with stuttering, quote, effectively, is to have some fun with it, right? So we like to do this segment on the show where we talk about our pet peeves from the stuttering world. So, for example, I hate when people tell me, if I happen not to be stuttering, when, oh, you sound so good today.
Oh, God, yeah, that's awful. It's like they just don't get it that some days you're just not stuttering and some days you just are. And then I hate my friends will say to me, oh, but you don't stutter more, or I never hear you stutter. I'm just used to it. And like they think they're helping me out by saying that, and I just kind of let go, but it's still a pet peeve.
Yeah.
Now, do you think saying that is to make you more comfortable or them more comfortable?
I think it's the truth, actually.
What's the
my
truth?
Friends, that they don't even realize it anymore. That they're so, like, used to it that it doesn't, like, register that we're stuttering on our words.
Okay.
I was going to say before that I agree when people say, like, oh, you sound so good today. It's like, thanks. And I sounded like crap yesterday.
Apparently.
Like a backwards comment.
Yeah. God, you look so not fat today. Thanks.
One of the ideas for a t-shirt for us to make is, you know, ... but I sound good every day.
Why
yeah.
Not?
No.
And three people will get it.
It so works. Is that what? Is that just
and I'm one
over people's heads, right?
Okay.
Okay. So, what are some other pet peeves?
Sorry,
what do you think,
I'm
Crystal?
Thinking.
Okay.
Who's a fan of the I Stutter too?
Are you?
Oh,
that's a great one. Right?
You?
I Stutter too.
Oh my God.
It makes me violent.
That's been our most popular pet peeve for weeks. That's what everybody says. We all say it.
Because I'll one up that and I'll just, I mean, that's understandable. Okay, like you think you stutter, like that's cute. And then like, I'll like tell them like, no, sometimes I can't even say my name, in which they'll be like, oh, like they'll like look at me like.
That's actually a good response to really let them know that, no, we are different.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like
you. Like, what do you have to say to them to like not make yourself look like a freak, but you want to like get the point across and not scare them
because
they think they're
think,
like you.
Why do you think that so many people do that? Oh, I stutter too.
Because they don't realize it as a disorder. Yeah, they really don't.
I think it's normal, you know, when you're having a conversation with anyone, like, the listener is trying to relate to you, and they're like, oh, yeah, me too, you know? Mm-hmm. And so they kind of feel like, maybe they stutter, and so...
Yeah, plus we're too old to say anyway, so...
Yeah,
that's what as stutterers, I think we just, like, take everything to heart when it comes to our speech.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we're very sensitive people, yes.
Moving right along, stuttering as a gift. Do you ladies think that stuttering is a gift? Crystal, you look like you're ready to go.
Stuttering as a gift. Actually, yes. Stuttering is a gift in many ways. I think that if you're a person who stutters that has support, people, like, well, when I was younger, I never would have thought that, basically, because I hated my stuttering. I was so ashamed to stutter. It was the one thing, if I could get rid of it, I would. I also have CP, and, like, that, I don't know, I never even thought much about that, because stuttering was so awful to me. And I've done a complete 180 just from meeting people who stutter that are really comfortable with it, that are really confident, and have really embraced their stuttering. So I've had really good role models, and so that has really changed my life, and now I think of it as a good gift because it's almost made me more proud to be who I am. And it's a gift because I have all these people that I can connect with so quickly because we share something so deep. And I don't think a lot of people have that. I think everyone's sort of looking for... like a community, and we have that, and I feel very lucky to have that. So that's one of the reasons why it's a gift.
I think what would be more appropriate for me to say is that we all have our issues to deal with, and it's important to realize that there is some good that comes of it, whether it be strength, humility, the community we share here, the friends that we made, the ability to overcome, like, monumental obstacles, or so they are in our minds. But at the same time, like, anyone with a disability or a disorder or whatever probably could find the good if they had, like, to keep positive about it, but would you want to be blind or deaf or something like that? No, like, I'd never choose that, just like I wouldn't choose stuttering for, like, my child or something, you
well,
know?
You know, I want to get Alana's view on this, but I will ask you quickly, if you could trade your stuttering for another one of life's problems, what would be a fair trade?
Oh, man, a fair trade?
Yeah, fair trade. You got to be fair. If you would
like
give
as
away...
Fair. What's like, that? As bad? I'm making
yeah, quotes,
quotes right now.
Yes, as bad, yes.
You know, like, so many people... Like, you hear those stories about blind people who stutter that say that being blind stuttering is worse.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it sounds absurd to people who don't stutter that we would put it on such a high... not a pedestal, but, like, such a high priority.
Right.
But, like, it is. I can't think of anything else that I'd... I don't really know what I would choose instead of this. I just know that there are a lot of people here who, like, wouldn't change their stuttering if they could. I would. I mean, heck. Like, it would make life a whole lot easier, but I'm grateful for the experience since I've had. If I could be fluent from here on out, that'd be awesome, but
well,
yeah, we
deal. We've had a few people on the show who have said, I think losing an arm would be a fair trade. A few times, without us asking the question, they'll say, as a kid, I used to pray to God to take away my left arm.
Well,
and
yeah,
and take away my stuttering, too. Like, that would
yeah.
be fair.
Yeah. I think it depends on, like, where you are with your stuttering, because I probably would have given my arm.
That's a good point.
For sure.
Yeah, but now it's different for you.
Yeah.
And how about you, Alana? Is stuttering a gift?
Yeah, I've been trying to think how to express it. It definitely is. I just can't imagine myself not as someone who stutters, and by that I mean it's shaped my life in such a positive way. excuse me, I don't mean to like clear my throat.
Here's it's all good.
The microphone. even after I had done AIS and I was a senior in high school, and I came back to school and I was so fluent. And at first, it was really cool to have all my friends who had known me since I was really little, like just hear how. I'm sorry, I used the fluent word.
No, it's good for beer money. I'm sorry.
Okay, good. Just to. Well, anyway, so, but it
was... basically owe us a dollar now, yeah.
Okay, all right. It was, you know, it felt good, especially in high school, and no one wants to be different. Now that I kind of felt like other people, it just kind of felt good. And then I started to feel like, well, I've accepted my stuttering. Well, why don't I just stutter, too? And then I kind of let that back in. But it just brought me so many things, like all my friends here. I mean, even... I used to do public speaking in high school, and I even felt stuttering just made that better. You know, I could talk about overcoming this and my speeches. And
hey, it was fun. College essay. I mean, damn.
Yeah.
We've actually interviewed a bunch of the teenagers here, and we've been asking them that question, and every single person says, yeah, that was all that my college essay was about.
I stutter, I'm different, pick me.
Yeah.
I've overcome.
Exactly.
I don't think we should... it's so easy to downplay how hard stuttering can be when someone asks you if it's a gift. And I remember someone, it was an our time thing, and it was like a question and answer thing, and someone asked, do you think of stuttering as a gift? And they went down, and every kid said, yeah, because, and then one kid was like, no, I feel like half of a person, and it really struck me, because she was being so honest about how hard it is, you know, and so it's like, it's really hard, but it's also a gift. Which is what you said.
It's kind of like, it's really hard, and it's also a gift, because what else can it be? It's not going to, I mean, some people may disagree with what I'm about to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. It's not going to go away, so we're not going to sit here and cry about it, you know? Like, unless you want to, but that's not what I'm going to do.
No, I was saying that too. There was a girl, a teenager I was talking to yesterday, and earlier, and she was being so negative, and this is about her stuttering. It's her first conference, and just started to tell her, you know, this is just your first step on your journey here, and she just couldn't believe, talking to some of us, you know, that we're speech pathologists, or that we speak in public, or that we can actually like our stuttering in a way. And I said to her, you know, even though I've accepted my stuttering and I do think it's a gift, I don't love it exactly. And, you know, it's just kind of like there, like a fly on the wall at times.
Yeah. So then the flip side of this question is, would you take a pill to cure your stuttering? Alana, you're ready to go.
No way.
Why not? Why not?
I wouldn't feel the same. I wouldn't feel the same. You know, people have asked me if I feel that it shaped my personality, and it definitely has, and I just would not feel the same.
You are crazy.
Sam, yeah. Your turn. Yeah. Okay, so let's keep it in
the
eye.
Sam.
No, I mean, I totally get what you're saying. Like, there's this guy,
First names,
Bob. that we know who's really fluent now after doing the
probe. Sorry, please. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Who's we're drinking good tonight.
We're drinking.
We owe you a lot of beer.
And we're doing the program, but he says he missed his stuttering, and he would never like give it up because he can still stutter whenever he wants. Sure. But you're asking if I could take a pill like to get rid of it. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying I would trade everything I've been through and never have had that in my life.
I see.
But I'm 22, so like I've had enough experience to take with me. I'm saying I hate it or I can't stand it or I can't like live with it. None of that. But to say that you wouldn't, like, get rid of it if you could, I'd have to think about it, but I think I would. I think it would just make it easier, and I could still stay the same humble person and all of that. What do you think, Crystal?
I would not take a pill at all. It makes me kind of sad that so many people would give up their stuttering, because I think that people who stutter are amazing, and that they're here to like teach other people how to listen, and I think to just get rid of that.
That's one of those quotes where we teach other people how to listen. We keep track of some of the nicer things. I'm sorry, please.
I don't know. Yeah, I guess I like saying that because I think it's really true. and I guess for me, I would be losing a big part of me, and I don't think I'd be gaining very much by not stuttering. Also, I'm going to be a speech therapist, and I want to work with people with stutter, so I'm obviously biased a little bit.
Sure.
And part of what my favorite thing about the type of speech therapy I like the most is, working with the stutter and not trying to hide it kind of thing. So that's just, how I feel about things. So, but at the same time, I would like to take away some of the struggle, like people who really struggle when they're stuttering, like versus just, stuttering but being able to keep moving forward. I don't know.
Sam? That's what I was going to say. Just I like to try and put myself in other people's shoes. I'm fine. I don't need a pill. And like we're all okay. You got to look at some of the other people who can't get a word out. And they don't have the control that we do. I mean, you're like awesome. Crystal's awesome at voluntary stuttering. And I know Alana and I have all these other tools from our other like program or whatever. But there are so many people here who have nothing to use. Like, I think that would be perfectly okay for them to not stutter anymore because it only hurts them. Not only hurts them, I mean, only hurts them. That's what it looks like to other people. I'm sure that they've gotten value out of it, as we have, but...
We're going to kind of switch gears here a little bit, and we ask this question to all of our guests.
And they're usually men, so we're not going to discriminate against them.
Exactly.
Okay.
Have you ever used your stuttering to meet a member of the opposite sex?
Have you ever turned it on a little bit? Have you ever felt it's been in your favor? Yeah,
not exactly.
Tell a Dave story.
Yeah.
There's a story.
Yeah.
So wait a second.
Okay. I had two things. I actually once dated a guy for a little bit who stuttered. Just kind of met randomly.
Okay.
But my other story though is that my boyfriend now, when we first met, we just met through a mutual friend back in college. And on our first date, I told him that I stuttered probably about halfway through. And he said, oh, yeah, I know. Actually, Diane, our friend, had told me because he said he thought that I really liked him because I was stuttering a lot talking to him. And then she said, oh, well, I don't know if I should tell you this, but she really does stutter, like, all the time.
No, really. She stutters all the time. That's good.
So you use it to attract the opposite sex, but you didn't even know you were doing it.
Yeah, it just was a subconscious thing. You stutter when you're nervous.
So yeah. So I'm gonna take that one as a yes, Sam.
Would I go up to a guy in a bar and start stuttering and expect it to, like,
but has it ever worked for you? Like, has it ever helped?
I've never done anything like that, pick up line type stuff. Like, first in interaction type stuff, no. I mean, I've advertised, but not to pick up the guy. But, you're interrupting me.
Yes, I know, and I'm sorry. But, not... necessarily like a pickup line.
Okay, you know, I'm not done though. I'm
in
say
some
it
way,
now.
Okay. Sorry, she is really putting me in my place here. Yeah. I'm gonna stop talking.
I was gonna say when if you, it's great to use it to like open up to them and be sensitive. If you're having a serious conversation, I'll always whip that out.
Okay.
Because it'll definitely keep it clean.
Okay. A lot of laughing about something over there.
I'll always say that because if it's appropriate, because it's a great way to show your softer side and advertise, which is a way, which means talking about your stuttering and putting it out in the open. But, like, otherwise, not
so
really.
So once you know a guy, perhaps right, it's a way to bring them. You closer.
Right, exactly. Okay. Once I know them pretty well, it's definitely a good way to, like, bond.
But I want to get to Crystal here, but I will say quickly that I was out with Eric once when I first met him, and with a few of his single friends, and they would say things to Eric like, go use your stuttering stuff to go meet those girls at the bar. And so they're like using the stutterer.
That's hysterical.
May I finish, Eric?
It was way into when I was into surveys and
that's funny. That is so funny. I never thought of that. We should go out with a clipboard now.
But I will say from my perspective, like I did so much advertising stuttering, and when you get up in a college classroom and you say, I just want to say quickly that I'm a person who stutters, so when you hear me today, I'll stutter. Well, after class, like, three or four people are going to come up and say to you, wow, that was neat, and half of them are going to be women. So, like, I found that being open about stuttering is something that has been good. And I'll leave it at that, Crystal.
Yeah, no, I was thinking the same thing. Like, as long as you're confident, you know, basically, yeah. If you're able to stutter and just tell people, it shows that you're confident, and then that makes you more attractive to anyone. So,
bingo. Look, you can't see the smile on her face listening.
No, so, it does work.
Oh, wait, is that a yes then?
Yes.
So we got like 2.5 yeses over there.
I'm not keeping score, but okay.
Yeah, I was just wondering what you guys think as far as, is it easier for a man to sort of use it and attract a woman by stuttering because we're like, oh,
you have
cute.
To be yes.
It
yeah. have
definitely
to be
yes. So I don't think it's so powerful for us.
Even if we're so girls, I think it's definitely like cuter quotes on a guy than it is on a girl.
That's interesting.
I would have to agree with that. I mean, that's actually part of the reason I asked the question is because, like, there is some sort of difference there, I think. And whether it's because it's, you know, cuter on a guy or...
Well, girls are more sensitive, so they think it's cuter, whereas a guy...
How dare you?
My ex was like, it's cute, and I was like, ew.
I think it's hard either way, though.
All right, go ahead.
So, I felt like I was always too nervous to go up and talk to guys, and, you know, like, it can go either way. Now, days in high school, I didn't want to ask anyone to the prom. Just it seemed like it'd be so embarrassing to do it for me. I didn't think it was cute. You know, I felt scary. Yeah.
I agree with what we were saying before about the college thing, advertising to your class. That's so true because I've done that, and guys have come up to me after class. But I think, because of our mindset of stuttering, like, not being sexy per se, you're not in the mood. You're not, like, gonna be like, oh, this guy is, like, thinks my stuttering is cool. Let me capitalize on that and go on a date with him.
I feel sorry for you. Maybe we just think differently.
That's really funny.
Yeah. Boy, I'm hesitant to say
it. Yeah, she's into me. It's really funny.
Yeah,
it's
great.
We'll just end with a quick statement of fact. Sometimes it works.
All right, then moving right along.
I'm curious, do you women think, does that sound right, you women? I'm over it.
How about you guys?
You know what?
I don't care. I was a gender studies minor, and I'm saying it's okay.
Okay. If I would have known that, you wouldn't have been here if I would have known that. Okay.
That's funny.
So do you think, you guys think that there's, that stuttering is a disability? Is stuttering a disability? And I don't want to get into definitions. I'm not talking legalese. Is stuttering a disability? Look like you got something along.
Kind of a storage thing. I did this fellowship this past year about disability studies. So I went to this conference in D.C. for disability policy, and I met an individual there who stuttered. Actually, he had muscular dystrophy and was in a motorized wheelchair, and I'm talking to him, and I noticed he was stuttering, and so was I. So we started talking about it a lot, and particularly, is it a disability, since that's what he's doing his dissertation on. And I felt it's such an individual thing. I mean, you know, based on all the World Health Organization definitions, yada, 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 but it's just from person to person. Do I think for myself it's a disability? No, but are there people out there who it does affect their daily lives and their activities of daily living, of course. And I know this individual would argue for anyone who stutters, it's a disability. It's interesting.
Crystal, Sam, do you have anything to add to this?
I completely agree
with that.
Yeah,
I thought that was very
awesome. I don't have anything else to add.
Okay, we're not supposed to agree at Stutter Talk.
Well, the word disabled, and I know you said no, like, definitions, but if it disables you, some people won't order what they want in a restaurant. That's not a life-altering thing, but if you don't go on an interview because you don't think you're going to be able to succeed and then you stay unemployed, that's not why I'm unemployed, by the way. That definitely is, like, not cool and a disability, you know. It depends on the person.
All right, well, check this out. When I went to grad school, my university accepted me knowing I was a stutterer and everything. And then they pull this during my program. We want you to register as a disabled student.
What?
And I said, and you know, I stuttered a little bit more then overtly than I do now, but I'm like, no, I'm not disabled. You might perceive a stutter as disabling, but it doesn't disable me. And they didn't have much to say to that. A couple other things that we want to talk about is some people has the negative rap on self-help is that talking about stuttering and self-help means that you're giving up on managing stuttering. Is that true?
Talking about stuttering and self-help?
Does that mean that you're giving up, and I'm not going to say fluency, but well, that's what some people would say. Are you giving up on fluency by talking about stuttering?
That's
ridiculous. But that's part of therapy, though, talking about... about stuttering is part of managing
stuttering. Totally.
That's a tool. That's something I like to do to manage my stuttering. Talk about it.
Now, you all know I'm playing stupid over here, but this is the rap. This is the negative talk you hear about self-help.
And you do hear this from some stutterers also, that, like... if I learn to really accept my stuttering and to be okay with my stuttering, then I'm not going to have the motivation to use speech tools. And that's what you hear sometimes. Not that often, but sometimes. And you hear it a lot from speech pathologists.
Mm-hmm. I guess if a person who stuttered said that to me, you know, I'd ask them, well, do you stutter more around people that you feel comfortable with, and are you comfortable around them because you know they know that you stutter, kind of thing. So it's like, if the more you can talk about it to people, the more comfortable you might feel, and you might not stutter as much if that's your goal, kind of.
Yeah.
So like, just to let them know that it could lead to that.
And then at the same time too, if you are comfortable around somebody, chances are it'll be easier for you to use your so-called tools in that situation.
Right.
I wish we could catch on our RSS feed, Sam, your rolling eyes. Because when we asked you that question, like, your eyes rolled in the back of your head. So please.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
No, no. I'm saying, like, I wish our listeners could see how disgusted you were. Not at me, but at the people saying
that. Okay.
Yeah. No.
Good, I was going to say.
Yeah, I think we need to make movies with videos.
Yeah,
when actually. You know what? We actually bought a video camera to do that, and if we have time later, we set it up and we'll do it. Seriously, cool. This is a good group for that.
Yeah.
Okay. I was thinking of an inappropriate joke.
So. Okay. Oh, then yeah.
Say it.
Okay.
And if it's really bad, we'll cut it out. No.
Yeah. Sam raised her hand, and anyone who raises their hand.
So I was going to say this is a big can of worms, as you'll know if you came to the convention last year.
Okay.
I won't get into that, but there was an individual who was kind of talking about this, and a lot of people think, especially at the NSA, that it's definitely okay to just stutter, which it is, and not get therapy, which I guess it is for some. I mean, like, define okay, quotes, whatever, but what I think is that I agree with Alana where talking about stuttering is a part of therapy. I also have this conversation / argument with my mom, like, every day, and more and more I'm starting to agree with her. The real world is the real world. As great as it is to accept our stuttering and all of that, like, it's important to be realistic. Just because you think that, like, a tongue ring is, like, indicative of who you are, you may not get a job because of that. If you don't want to play the game, then you may not get the job.
Okay.
And people who stutter, even though it stinks, like, people are sometimes going to judge you. And to me, therapy and being in control of my speech is really important. It's not... It's just that that's important more than stuttering is bad. It's not, like, about that. It's about being realistic and not just being like, okay, well, you have to accept me. I stutter. Like, yes, but it's important to work on it, and I don't think that that's a cop-out at all.
Let's end up with some funny stuttering stories. Because everyone's got them. Yesterday, we had a teen, Stephanie, tell us a story about a gentleman who stutters, who was stuttering pretty hard, and the listener thought he was choking, and he tried to give him the Heimlich maneuver.
Oh my God.
At the convention?
No, this was years ago.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine stuttering so hard that someone tries to give you the Heimlich?
Yeah.
So, does anyone here have some funny stuttering stories? Crystal, you're smiling. You're ready to go?
Oh, that's a funny one. I know. Of myself or others?
Anything.
Because I know so many funny ones.
It could be like a funny avoidance story.
It could be anything.
Yeah.
All right, come back to me.
Okay.
I heard some funny ones in the workshop I did with the teenagers.
Okay.
Earlier, we were talking about different secondary characteristics, and then everyone started sharing these, like, funny/embarrassing stories about how their secondary characteristics got them in trouble. One teen said he was on a date, and the table was kind of small, you know, sitting close to the girl, and he actually, like, kind of rocks his leg up and down,
right.
And he said he knocked over the table.
God. That sucks.
He was like,
so funny.
He was like, I didn't know my own strength. He's like a big kid, too.
Oh,
it's
my,
like,
God.
Yeah. And more than two of them shared stories about driving. Actually, at first someone raised their hand and said, oh, what if you were kind of squinting your eyes or closed your eyes when you were stuttering and you were driving? And then they all raised their hand how they started to swerve off the highway.
I mean, they're 17 and drive like they're on drugs anyway, but
I feel
thinking
safe
that
in
it's
the parking lot here now.
I know someone.
They were
actually,
like, I wanted to make eye contact, so I turned and looked.
Right.
At my passenger.
That's a good one. Like, yeah, you know, I was trying so hard to maintain eye contact, but I was also driving 65 miles an hour, and I rode right into a tree.
Oh my gosh. One of my friends got pulled over once, and he has a pretty severe stutter, and the cop thought that he was drunk. And then he called for backup. It was really bad.
Eric Jackson has a crazy secondary story. His secondary is when he's talking to a woman, he'll put his hand on her knee. That, no. we have to make fun of Eric once a show.
Really funny.
He turned red.
And then he's like, I'm going to try it.
And it sounds like
something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think we got to wrap things up.
I think so, too.
Because we got Russ Hicks coming in.
We do.
Oh.
Ladies, it was a pleasure. Had so much fun. And look forward to maybe getting a couple of drinks at the banquet in a couple of hours.
Water, Sprite.
Of course. Sprite, yeah. Real quick, you're listening to StutterTalk.com. Here with Alana.
Fitzgerald.
And Crystal.
Bye.
Thank you.